You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
And welcome back. And we have switched to English because I don't dare to do the interview in French, however much I might like to talk about it. But I'm very glad to say we are with Luc Bruyère, aka Lucky Love. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm very, very good, thank you. We were talking just off air about how much I like your jumper. And
my blue and green jumper.
Oh, it's been,
it actually comes from a fan. Like, I was in Warsaw and we did a concert, and a fan after the show came to me and he offered it to me. So it's really precious to me. It's like a beautiful gift.
Did they knit it?
Yeah, actually. Whoa. They did. It's like hand knitted. Yeah.
That is so nice. That is a lot of work as well.
Yeah, I do think so.
Oh, well, no wonder you inspire such devotion. So you're playing Barcelona Lanao next week, Wednesday, I believe. And yep. You're saying you're in Brussels kind of working on the show, but this is basically the first date of the international tour, right?
Yeah, it is. This is the first date of the international tour for the Burning Tour, because like before that, I already did a huge tour in the world, but it was for the EP, and now it's about the album. So we created an entire new show. And it's all live. There is no sound effects. Nothing will be a band playing music.
The album, I Don't Care If It Burns, which was released November, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And how's the reaction been to the album?
Well, it's unbelievably incredible. The way that people received the album is just crazy. It's like, it's beyond what I could actually imagine. It's just crazy because that's also my first album. Before that, I just did one EP. And I really wanted this album to be honest and pure. And I didn't want, like, there was no strategy behind the album. The idea was just to connect with my people, connect with my community, and tell them about my life, you know, about everything that I've been through. And so seeing that, like, we're connecting and that people are recognizing themselves in my music is just such a gift. I love it.
Can I ask you a stupid question?
Yeah, I love stupid questions.
Okay. Well, the album is called I Don't Care If It Burns. You don't care if what burns?
Well, I don't care if life burns. Because right. I think that, you know, as I grew up in France, I always had this idea of this huge romanticism thing, you know, like I grew up dreaming about the Moulin Rouge and this crazy love story. And I think I've lived my life like this so far. It's just that I feel alive when I'm burning, when my heart is burning. I think it's about the heart, yeah.
Talking of the Moulin Rouge, you performed at Madame Arthur, the cabaret, as La Venus aux mille hommes. Right?
Yes.
Sorry, that was terrible French pronunciation.
No, that was very good. That was very good.
Oh, you're too kind. What was that like performing there?
Well, it allowed me to actually discover myself as an artist and also as a man, you know, because like being in heels and full makeup teaches you so many things about yourself. And also I think a cabaret is a place of total freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's also a political place. So it also helped me to understand that through my art, what I want is to defend values and to also to speak about the world I live in, you know. I think that you're a great artist once you're able to actually just be the witness of your time. And that's what I want through my music. And I understood that through the cabaret. Yeah.
We have a question in the chat, if that's all right, from Panda Tort. What is your favorite cabaret era in history?
Oh, wow. So many. But I think actually Madame Arthur is really important for me because it's not just because I've worked there, but also because it was the first cabaret in Paris. And also I will tell you a little story about this cabaret, but it actually opened by accident, because in Pigalle, back in the days, there was all these trans people that were actually like working in the street, being prostitutes and sex workers. And once there was this girl called Bambi, and she was threatened by a guy in the street. And so she just found a refuge in this cabaret, and that was just a piano, and it was supposed to be a restaurant. And then she came in and pretended to be a performer. And so she went to the piano, performed the song, and that's how Madame Arthur became a cabaret. So what I love about this idea is just that it became just a safe place, you know, and that's a place where like you can just be yourself. And so that's why I felt really connected to it, because I think that the cabaret has to be like a safe place for communities and also like a place of freedom to be able to just speak your truth.
Talking of politics, your most recent release was the protest version of your song Masculinity.
Yeah.
Which came out on Valentine's Day as well, yes, I noticed. Yeah. So why did you want to do that, and why Valentine's Day?
Well, because I think that the world we live in right now is kind of scary. I really grew up thinking that all the bad, how would I say that? I would say, yeah, all the bad side of the history was kind of behind us, you know, as if like it wouldn't be like coming back. And then through the election of the United States of America and all this craziness about Donald Trump and Elon Musk, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like the universe is living in a Marvel, like in a Marvel movie with like these giant, awful people. And I just don't understand. I'm like, how is it fucking possible that in 2025, we're getting back to this awful, awful messages of like discrimination when we've been doing so great for the last 10 years. We were evolving, we were accepting each other, we were living all together. And I totally refuse that hate replace love. I just don't understand that. It's not possible. It's just we have to fight. We have to fight for love. We have to fight for our values, for acceptance. I truly believe that what makes us rich in this world is our differences, is what makes us so beautiful as a humanity. And I'm really tired of these people focusing on what makes us different instead of focusing on what brings us together. Well, I am just a human being, you know. I'm not a guy. I'm not defined by my gender. I'm not defined by the color of my skin or my religion. I'm just defined by the people I met in my life, you know. And so it's through love that I became who I am. And that's the most important. And the reason why it came out on Valentine's Day is to actually remind to people that what's matter is love, that's the most important value we have.
Well, I was going to ask, I mean, you seem to me to be quite an optimistic person. I don't know if that's right, but how do you keep that optimism going with all of the awful stuff?
Well, I had like an experience of life that's not the easiest, to be quite honest. I was born without my left arm. At the age of 14, I understood I was gay. And then I've been a drug addict. And through all of this, things that we could consider as something really difficult or like awful time in my life, I actually grew up so much. And I understood that the beauty is not where we believe it is. You know, like life is not a Disney. Life is a roller coaster. And I think sometimes that's in the cave that you can find the purest life and the light, you know, you need. I mean, how can you appreciate the beauty of the sun if you never know a rainy day? You know, it's really important for me to just like, yeah, I'm really optimistic, because as long as I'm alive, there is possibility, you know, as long as we breathe all together. Yeah, nothing can really stop us. I do believe this.
Good.
And I'm French, you know, like, I mean, that's the thing. We've always protested for our rights, you know. It's like, that's in our blood. We can't accept to be mistreated.
Yeah.
That's something impossible for us. And that's also something that I feel, because I used to live in Madrid for like 8 months. And that's also something I felt in the Spanish culture, through all the movies I've seen from the Almodovars of the 80s, all this like beautiful values that I found in the Spanish culture. Yeah, that's something that is really like Latin, you know. We know the value of life and we know the beauty of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the actual name Lucky Love is sort of related to that, right? Isn't it? Because I think I read that it's a very personal name.
Yeah, it's very personal. I mean, like, I am called Love because I got married to an Australian guy, and we got married in Copenhagen, and there you can choose a new name for the couple of the same gender.
Ah, brilliant.
And so we chose Love. Mm-hmm. And Lucky is just like my nickname since I'm a kid, because I'm called Luke. And I don't know, when I saw Lucky Love, I was like, oh, that's so me. Because actually, that's how I consider myself. I feel really lucky to know the value of love and the importance of it.
Going back to masculinity a second, I think you said that it is the most vulnerable song that you've ever done.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why is that?
Well, because I'm naked, you know? I'm like, I'm telling the world my vulnerability. I'm telling the world, like, oh, am I not enough? Because that's something I felt so many times, you know, in my personal life, or even, like, in the streets, like, just walking in the street, I could feel, you know, sometimes that I was not validated by all this thing, you know, like, it's just the society that that values certain people, certain type of people. I was not belonging to it. And that was the first time that I allowed myself to say, well, I'm not okay with this. I don't deserve this. And so if I am the problem, tell me you people that know that I'm not valid enough, that I'm not like good enough for you. Tell me what's wrong with me. What's wrong with me? What makes you superior? And it's so hard for an artist to actually show yourself vulnerable and say, well, okay, you told me so many times that I was not enough that I now believe it. So now that I believe it, tell me why. Tell me why am I not enough? That was really like something hard for me to say, because also I'm a Leo and we're really proud, you know? So like for me, it was like something crazy to show myself vulnerable in front of people. But I also understood that sometimes, you know, you have to speak your truth, even more as an artist, because like then when I'm in concert and I see all these souls, all these people singing with me the lyrics of masculinity, I can see through their eyes that they all have their story around this song, which is not the same as mine. But I think that in a way, we've all like felt once in our life as if we were not enough, as if like society was like bringing us down. And so I think that's why this song is so universal and why it touched so many people.
You mainly sing in English with the occasional song in French.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, do you feel like you're kind of a different person when you sing in the two languages?
Hell yeah. Hell yes. Oh my God. Yeah, and also because I think that, you know, I've always believed in the superpower of a pop star. You know, I've dreamed of Michael Jackson when I was a kid. I've dreamed with Lady Gaga, with Madonna. And what I love about those people is that they became symbol. Like it's not even they're not people anymore. You know, they are like an entire message. They represent something. And that's what I want. So the reason why I sing in English, it's because I don't want to have borders in my music. I think borders are just boring. And what I want is to spread the word. I want to spread the word in the entire world. And that's what the English language permits me, you know, to do. I'm like, okay, as I sing in English, I can finally like be myself and just spread the word. When I sing in French, I feel like I sing for like a little community of people. Mm-hmm. So it's more intimate and it's more like for kind of my country, which I don't really like. And when I sing in English, I feel like, okay, I am like kind of a, I don't know, you know, I feel like a politician. I feel like I have something to give to this world. And so I feel also that I have a responsibility.
See,
yeah, that's interesting for me. That's much more interesting.
I wonder, because this is something that happens with me. English is my native language, but I find like when I speak in other languages that that sometimes it's easier to be honest. Do you get the same thing?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Because also, like, I think that when you speak in another language than yours, it's just, it brings your ID to be more clear, to be like, because you don't have, like, you know, all this aesthetical thing that you can put around to make poetry or to be like, you know. I think that when you speak in another language, you feel the emergency of saying what you have to say. And so that's what I love about also like putting myself in this position of singing in English, because I really have to choose my words. And also I can discover a new word that I didn't even like, you know, have in French, because we all have like different languages and there are like some shades, some nuances that you don't have in French that you have in English or the contrary. And so, yeah, it permits you so many other things that you couldn't imagine. Yeah, that's what I love about it.
You're also a big fan of Amy Winehouse, right?
Oh, my God. I'm not a fan. I'm in love with her.
Okay, so, all right, this is a terrible question, but if you could do a duet with one person ever, living or not living, who would it be?
Yeah. He would be Amy. He would be Amy Winehouse, for sure. It would be Amy, because, like, I don't know how to say that, but I think that you have to be so brave to speak your truth so clearly. Like, she was giving us her entire soul without even, like, thinking of, like, of preserving herself, you know? And that's why also I think that she burnt that fast, is because she was so honest, so pure. And I would have felt really privileged to share that with her. Yeah.
That'd be amazing. And you performed at the Paralympics, right? Last summer?
Yeah.
How was that? That must have been, I mean, that you're talking, that's a global audience of millions and millions and millions. How on earth was that?
Yeah, I even like sang in front of like 1.5 billion people on that day.
Hang on. Did you know it was going to be 1.5 billion? When you were standing there with the mic?
No, of course not. How many? Otherwise, I would never have climbed on stage.
But you must have known this is going to be millions. Or was it just like, I'm not thinking about this. I'm just going to sing. I'm not thinking of like...
No, to be quite honest, I didn't think of it. I was like, okay, I'm going to be at the service of an entire ceremony. And I even thought, because I was not, you know, the biggest artist on stage on that day. And so I even thought that I would be just like, you know, a little part of the show that people would like, and that's it, you know. But I didn't imagine that it would have the resonance that it had. It was crazy. It was pure surprise for me. When I got out of stage and I realized like all the medias that were contacting my PR and everything, I was like, what the hell just happened? I really didn't believe it. It was so crazy. And I don't know, I thought it was just a beautiful day to finally, I don't know, speak for my community, speak for people, deliver a strong message. And that was the entire, purpose of it for me.
I thought the Olympics and the Paralympics were extremely well done. I was really impressed. Really, really enjoyed them.
I'll tell to my friend Tomás Oli. I'll tell him.
Oh, right.
I'm super glad.
No, it was amazing. It was amazing. All right, a couple more things. I don't want to keep you for a long time. Tell me a song that you didn't like as a child that you've recently come around to, that you like now.
Well, a song that I didn't like as a child, but that I discovered and now I love it. I would say all the songs of Barry White.
Ah.
Like, I was not listening. My dad was a fan of him, but I was not really into his music until recently. I was in the car and the driver was like really playing it super loud. And I heard the lyrics and I was like, oh my God, that's actually so beautiful. And also the tone of his voice. And I was like, oh shit, how did I actually spend all that years without listening to his music? I was like, that's so genius. Like, yeah. So yeah, I would say Barry White.
And one final thing, if I may. So you once said that you are not afraid of rejection, which I think is a great thing. But how can people be like that? I wish I was a bit more like that. How can we do it?
Well, babe, I've been rejected my entire life. So at one point, you know, you get used to it. I'm just like, yeah, I was born without my arm. So in the playground as a child, I was already rejected. Then through my sexuality, I felt rejected again. Then inside the LGBTQIA plus community, I've been rejected because of my body, because I was not this masculine guy that could actually, that you could fancy because he's super muscular or blah, blah. So I felt rejected my entire life. And so, yeah, at one point, you know, you're not scared anymore. That's just this, you know. Once you've seen the monster, you're not scared of the monster, because you understand also that, like, sometimes it can transform into a very cute dog.
What a lovely place to leave it. Lucky Love, Luc Bruyère, Luc Love.
Yeah. All of them.
Exactly. No, you are in Lanao on Wednesday, which is the 5th of March. First date with the new show. It's going to be spectacular. Thank you so much for being. Merci bien. C'était très intéressant et c'était un plaisir.
Very good, friends. Thank you. I can't wait to see you, Barcelona.
Right. We'll see you there.
Bye.
Bye.